So, yeah, so you might have picked up that this weekend has been the start of this year's Six Nations Championships. So that's a rugby competition between England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, France and Italy. So often even people who don't usually follow rugby sort of wake up when the Six Nations is on and end up keeping track of what's going on. I wondered if, I haven't spoken to them yet, but I wondered if David and Hazel have an extra spring in their step. I think the Irish won on Friday night, had a good win against the French. For me, one of rugby's superstars, it would always be Johnny Wilkinson. So I guess I grew up in a time when he was a real superstar in rugby. I think he does some of the punditry on the TV now. But when I was younger, he was the kicker for England. And famously, in 2003, he kicked the drop goal, which won the World Cup for England, sort of in the dying minutes. But get this. So this is what Johnny Wilkinson has since said. When I was part of the World Cup winning team, I had never felt so empty as I did afterwards. That's striking, isn't it? For a sportsman, surely winning the World Cup is the greatest possible fulfilment. But here's Johnny Wilkinson, possibly the best player in the world at the time, the key player for England. Here he is saying that he had never felt so empty as he did once he'd won the World Cup. Now I appreciate that none of us here are world-class sports people, or at least not to my knowledge. But I do suspect that we can all relate to that feeling of longing for more, longing for something extra. We say to ourselves, I'll be satisfied maybe when I get that job, or if family life starts going well, then I'd be happy. Or if I just had sort of dot, 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 then I'd be fulfilled. So we find ourselves asking the question, how do I find true satisfaction? How do I find contentment? Don't I need something more for my life to be complete? Wouldn't I find fulfillment if I just had dot, dot, dot? We're going to think about this question. We're going to answer it by looking at the text from Colossians, from chapter 1. Yes, I've got 2 points for us this morning. So firstly, continue in Christ. This comes from sort of verses 21 to 23. We want to consider the context more broadly to help us here. So I think we've touched on this in previous weeks. But to understand this letter to the Colossians, it's important to know that they were under pressure to believe that they needed Christ plus something more in order to be sort of true and full Christians. That there were people telling them that they needed to move on from Christ to some other things in order to be real believers, to find real fulfilment. So the authors, Paul and Timothy, are writing this letter in this context. And then in the previous section, verse 15 to 20, Paul and Timothy have made it clear that Jesus is supreme and he is sufficient. Jesus is Lord over all, Lord of all creation, Lord of the church, Lord of reconciliation. He has the supremacy in everything. So there is no one better to move on to. There is nothing greater to be found by turning away from Christ. And then we picked up last week from this previous section as well that Jesus is all sufficient. He is enough. So we find our fullness in him. So in those verses 15 to 20, we see the words all and everything and fullness come up a lot. You can probably pick that up as you quickly glance over it. The text is making it clear that everything we need is in Jesus. Fullness is to be found in him. Verse 19 even says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." That's in Christ. There's nothing lacking about Jesus. It's not like he's just part of what we need or even most of what we need. He is all we need. He's all sufficient for us. Neither the Colossians nor us need to move on to something extra to get what we need to be fulfilled. And then the previous section finished with this amazing truth that Jesus died on the cross, that the all-supreme and all-sufficient Christ shed his blood on the cross to reconcile to himself all things. All things are to be made right with God, reconciled with him through Jesus' death on the cross. And so then it gets personal. In verse 21 and 22, Paul and Timothy remind the Colossians where they have come from. It says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour." That is strong language. That's a stark reminder of the truth of the Colossians story. And it is true for all people. In our sin, we've been alienated from God. We've been his enemies. But, what a wonderful but at the start of verse 22. "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." The Colossians were enemies of God, but now they are holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. The cosmic reconciliation that Jesus has brought through his death on the cross, reconciling all things to himself, well, it includes the Colossians being reconciled to him as well. And actually, for people who trust in Jesus, it's true for us too. We are made right with God. Our relationship with him is restored through Jesus' death on the cross. We trust that Jesus lived the life we should have lived, and that he died the death that we should have died. And so then God looks upon us as his dearly loved children. Like the way he looks on Jesus, holy, without blemish, free from accusation. What wonderful news. What wonderful news for the Colossians to receive. What wonderful news for us. And so then, how should the Colossians respond? How should we respond? By continuing in faith. So from verse 23, it says, "Continue in your faith established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." The authors are exhorting the readers to continue in Christ. He's the all-sufficient Saviour. He's supreme, the Lord of all. He's more than enough. Everything you could want in a Saviour is found in Christ. This is the good news. The Colossians have heard it, and they've been told it by the faithful Epaphras. We've seen that previously in chapter 1. He's faithfully shared this true message of the gospel with them. They don't need anything extra. And all over the world, this gospel is being proclaimed and shared, and it's bearing fruit and growing. The good news of Jesus, it won't be overcome. So stay in Christ is the exhortation here. Continue in Christ. To move on from this Saviour, to leave him, would be to leave your salvation. To leave being made right with God. And to leave everything that is in Christ. So stick to him. Stay rooted in him. Continue in Christ. What does this mean for our day-to-day living? Well, we live in a society that seems to regularly tell us that if we just had that something extra, then our life will be better. I guess the advertisement industry spends lots of time and money and resources seeking to persuade us that if we just have that particular product, or if we just use that particular service, then we'll really be satisfied. That's when we'll really find fulfilment. So sort of don't believe it. Of course, there are many good gifts which God provides, which are useful to us and which we can enjoy. Various material possessions, family, friendships, relationships, work, education, hobbies, holidays, good health. These can be good gifts for us, of course. But let us not ultimately put our trust and hope in them. They are not all that we need. Those things don't reconcile us to a right relationship with God. None of those things have died on the cross for us. So let's be wary of thoughts and words along the lines of, I must sort my family relationships out, then I'll be happy. Or if I can just get that job I want, then I'll be fulfilled. Or I'll be satisfied when I'm healthy. Rather, let us be able to think and say, I need not be successful in my career to be fulfilled, because I have Jesus. Or I don't need family life to be going swimmingly to be content, because I have Jesus. Or I need not be in tip-top health to be satisfied, because I have Jesus. Let us continue in Christ. And then my second point this morning is trust Christ in ye, the hope of glory. So this is a bit more from verse 24 to 27. Verse 24, we'll spend a few moments on this. It seems somewhat confusing. Let's take a moment to consider what it's saying to us. Paul writes, I rejoice in what I am suffering for ye. Now fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. There are a couple of striking parts about this verse. Firstly, it's striking that Paul says that he rejoices in his sufferings. This might seem crazy to us. Surely suffering is not something to be celebrated. But Paul is getting at something deeper. Paul is saying that the gospel is so good. Jesus is such an amazing king, such a wonderful saviour, that to suffer in service to him and his church is a joy. And that is linked to the secondly, sort of seemingly confusing point where Paul writes, I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions. For the sake of his body, which is the church. What does Paul mean by saying that Christ's afflictions are still lacking? Well, I guess given what we've seen so far in Colossians, Paul doesn't mean that Jesus' death on the cross somehow isn't enough. We've just seen sort of in chapter 1, verse 20 and 22, Paul is making it clear that Jesus' death on the cross is the act which brought reconciliation. Rather, it seems that perhaps what Paul means here is that there is still suffering left for the church to receive until the day that Christ returns in glory. Christ identifies with us in suffering. The church, that's sort of Christ's physical body on earth, we will experience suffering just as Christ himself suffered. It seems that Paul is saying that he's happy to bear as much of the church's suffering in himself in order to sort of fill up the full amount left and so bring about Christ's return more quickly. It's a tricky verse, I think, sort of with the help of some Bible study notes, that maybe that's what it's getting at. Though I think what is pretty clear is that the good news of Jesus, it doesn't make us immune to suffering. In fact, for sort of here and from other parts of Scripture, we know that suffering is inevitable for followers of Christ, just as Christ himself suffered. So let's be careful then to think that a fulfilled life, a content life, it will also involve suffering for Christ. Of course, in those times, we'll do well to remember that Jesus is Lord over all. So all will be well in the end. Everything sad will come untrue with Jesus. And he is enough in times of hardship. We have everything we need in him. Love beyond measure, forgiveness of sins, hope for the future. They're all found in Jesus. He's enough for us. And then more broadly in this section, then we find that Paul writes about how he has become a servant of the gospel. We see this from the end of verse 23 and verse 24 and 25. Paul is a servant of the good news of Jesus, a servant of his body, which is the church, a servant by the commission of God. And what does Paul do as a servant of the gospel, as a servant of the church? Verse 25, he presents the word of God in its fullness. Again, an appreciation of the Colossians context is helpful to us here. In their time and culture, there were many sort of mystery religions. These mystery religions generally operated on a tier system. So something like the more money you give, then the more revelation you receive. This was a sort of a big part of their culture. So it makes sense that around that time there were people suggesting that there was more of the mystery of Christianity to be revealed. Of course, these people would have been suggesting that they were the people that could reveal more of this mystery, probably for a price, probably looking for some kind of payment for revealing more of this somehow hidden secret. So into this context, Paul writes that actually, yes, there was a mystery. Verse 26, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations. The mystery of God had in some way been veiled or hidden. But now it has been disclosed to the Lord's people. From verse 26. In New Testament times, the secret, sort of the mystery of God, it's become an open secret. And that's because the mystery of God is fully revealed in Jesus Christ. I guess it's just like Ali was saying earlier, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus Christ. The fullness of God dwells in Jesus. There's nothing lacking about him. There's no extra secret to discover. It's all about Christ. Verse 27 makes this clear. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's all about Christ. The glorious riches of this mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's nothing lacking about him. He's glorious. He's treasure beyond measure, if you like. He's sufficient for us. And amazingly, the fullness of God that is found in Christ is in us, is in his followers. Christ in us. That is our hope of glory. Our glorious hope is Christ in us. It's through Christ, that we grow and pursue life in all its fullness. There's not some extra add-on which we need. It's all about Christ and him in us. What does this mean for our day-to-day living? To pursue life in all its fullness, it means looking to Christ, carrying on in him, trusting that him in us is the hope of glory for us. The hope of being the people who we were made and saved to be. To keep doing this in the highs and lows of life, it's important for us to keep looking and listening to the word of God. From these verses, it seems that the glorious riches of Christ in you, they're made known as the word of God is presented in all its fullness. So going back to verse 25 there. It's good and important for us to keep sharing the good news of Jesus with one another through words. So I guess it might be sharing an encouragement in a conversation, sending a text message with a Bible verse, sort of speaking truth in love in a meeting or looking at scripture together over a meal. However it happens, it's a great thing for us to hear and to share the good news of Jesus with one another, to share the word of God with one another, reminding one another that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Everything we could ever truly want or need is to be found in Christ. So let us trust that Christ in you, Christ in us, is the hope of glory for us. So how do we find fulfillment? How do we find satisfaction for our lives? What do we need to pursue life in all its fullness? Well, it's all about Christ. He is Lord of all. He is supreme. He is sufficient. Everything we truly desire or need is found in him. And nothing extra. Nothing else has died on the cross for us to bring us reconciliation to God. No one else is the hope of glory for us. Only Christ. He is enough for us. Let's continue in him. Let's pray. Father, Son and Spirit, we do thank you for Jesus. Thank you that through his death, we are holy and blameless in your sight without accusation. Thank you that you live in us by your Spirit, and that Christ in us is the hope of glory, the hope of becoming the people you have made and saved us to be. Please help us to continue in faith in you. Help us to trust that you are enough for us. In Jesus' name, amen.